Gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. On this episode, what I want to talk about is gambling, more specifically how betting and gambling is intertwined with sports. And I had to bring this guy back on. You see who's here, the co-host with the most, one half of the infamous podcast, Pot and Saved Our Marriage. My man, King Germ, is back in the building. King Germ, what's good, man?
What's going on, 12 Kyle, man? 12 Kyle Nation. And like I say every time I come over here, the spread is nice. The nice appetizers. I mean, 12 Kyle really does it up for his guests, y'all. Y'all really, if you ever get the chance to do a 12 Kyle show, please. The hors d'oeuvres are delicious.
Well, let me say this. Pod and Saved Our Marriage as a podcast has only had one guest host, and that's been me. So, I mean, I got to shout y'all out first and foremost for having me on. So, you know, they don't let anybody just come kick it with them. So I was definitely blessed to come on episode 12, nonetheless.
Yes.
So, man, always good to have Jern back on here. Let's get to it, man. I wanted you mentioned on your most recent episode about playing a parlay. And I had this idea about talking about, you know, gambling and betting and everything like that, because like, if you follow sports, more specifically, Jerm and I are huge football fans. And the thing that's always interesting to me is how, you know, time flies and how we move as far as a society. But at the time of this recording, we just had a Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And so I want to start there, Jerm. The NFL in particular, what do you think about its relationship with Vegas? I mean, obviously, like I said, we just had a Super Bowl there. There's a team there. There's talk that, you know, eventually there'll be a basketball team there. I think that's probably the next play for the NBA. But what is the NFL specifically? What do you think about its involvement with Vegas?
Well, it surprised me that they took the Vegas in and basically wrapped their arms around it and ran with it, because at once upon a time, it was taboo to speak gambling in sports. It was taboo. And it was just like, you never, you know, it was like that, you know, you knew about the line, or you might didn't know about the line, but then the announcers didn't make it known in the game. They'll say little subtle things like, well, I know a group of people are happy about that score, or I know somebody's upset about that score. And so just to see the NFL get in bed with Vegas after they treated Vegas like it was some dirty, dark place that they could never, you know what I'm saying, get in bed with. And now they all in bed with Vegas.
And I want to go back to something you just said. You mentioned line. I'm going to admit something to you that I'm sure you probably don't even know. I don't know how or the purpose of a point spread. Okay. I've never ever, and people have tried to explain to me what a point spread is. I never asked. I never wanted to know. And this is somebody who has played football, you know, from the age of 8 all the way through college. I'm a huge NFL fan, huge college football fan, go Seminoles. And so, you know, but I've never cared about the spread, Jerm. I've never cared about, you know, now I will say this much. I do play fantasy football, but I'm someone who's never bet on sports. So
we got to like change that 12, Kyle.
Why should I bet on sports, Jerm?
One is fun. Two, you can win money. I mean, 12 Kyle, that's the only thing you have to do. Like, it's nothing like sitting there watching a game and you have a bet in and you watch it either fall apart or materialize into a win. It's nothing like it. It's just like, it is an exhilarating feeling. Like, I've never cheered for the Cowboys in my life, but this one time I needed the Cowboys to win this game, and it went to overtime, and CeeDee Lamb broke loose and scored the touchdown, and they end up covering, and I hit my 10-game parlay. Wow. 12 Kyle, 10-gamer, and it was just amazing. And so my wife came out here like, why are you cheering for the Cowboys? I was like, baby, I just hit a parlay. And so betting will have you rooting for teams, it'll really take the love of your game away. So with you being a diehard Giants fan, like with fantasy football, that did that to me. Like right. I can't, it's hard for me to watch the NFL now and not think about fantasy numbers, or I don't have a, cause you know, my first year playing fantasy, I had all Eagles on my team, whole mm-hmm. bunch of Eagles. And then I learned that ain't the game. You have to play, you trying to pick the best lineup. So now you'll see me cheering for somebody from another team, or I'm watching a game I have no interest in just because I have a running back. It's something wild. So I believe fantasy played a part in the gambling also, the proliferation, you could say, of the gambling mm-hmm. in the NFL.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I think part of the problem is, though, is that what you just said, like, it takes away from the love of the game, and you found yourself as an Eagles fan, a Philadelphia Eagles fan, diehard Eagles fan, having to cheer for the Cowboys for you to win a 10-game parlay. Mm. And how much did that result in earnings for you?
Okay, so it was only a $5 bet, okay. and I won $1,000 off a $5 bet. You know what I'm saying? And so, that's a hell of a flip, if you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying. You want to look at it. But, you know, just think if I put 100 on it, I would have won like, what? I don't know, do the math. That would have been like almost 10 bands, you know what I'm saying, right. or something like that. So, just, hey, it was amazing.
So, but you speak of winning, but the flip side, at least to me, because there is a flip side. Oh. The flip side is losing. Now, I'm not going to die over $5. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to cry over $100, but I don't want to risk $100. I think the most, German, honestly, I think the most I've ever bet on a game, and this was like when I was younger, it was like $20.
Have you ever bought a scratch off of a 12 calf?
Never.
Never. Are you serious, 12 calf?
Dead serious.
Well,
I played the lottery.
I'm going to cash out you some money tomorrow. And I want you to go buy a ticket for me, because I feel like you're going to have the most amazing luck. And that is amazing.
Never bought a scratch off. Now, I mean, I'll play the lottery every now and then when it gets to like $200 million or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not into losing money. So my thing is to me, it's just an opportunity to lose money. And
You can't look at it like that.
But you can't look at it like you're going to win, though.
But you got to look at it as an opportunity for me to win money. You got to have that positive outlook if you are in a gamble. If you're a degenerate, that's what we call ourselves. We call degenerates. People that like to gamble. Like, if it's a game on, you got some action on. I don't care if it's football, mm-hmm. basketball. I mean, I found myself, when I started betting on women's college basketball, I said, oh, yeah, you got a problem. They even have these simulated Madden games that you get, but they have lines and everything that you can bet on. And you can sit there and watch the game. They simulate, it's just a computer playing a computer, and you can bet on this. You can bet on everything now.
That's crazy. So, okay. So as far as you, when you do gamble, how often would you say that you gamble? Is it like something that you do once a week or once a month, or how do you get down?
During football season, it's mm-hmm. It's a weekly thing. I'm talking about, you know, I'm running, you know, parlays. And I do put myself on a budget, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why I have to do bigger parlays, because I'm a low risk, high reward type guy.
Okay.
So I said, $5 win me $1,000. So if I lose, I'm only losing five.
Facts.
I'm not that guy to do the $25, $50, $100 parlay, because that's a lot to lose at one time. I feel you on that. But so every week during football season, I'm betting. Typically, I don't like betting college basketball until the tournament, because the college kids, you can't trust them. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, I've seen over the years, these kids are easily influenced. Now, NIL, it might be a little different because everybody getting money. But before NIL, I'm not trusting these college kids. I had a bet on a Notre Dame game one time.
Come on, seriously. Man.
So, okay, listen. It broke my heart. This is the only game I need to win to cash in on this parlay. Notre Dame was favored by 10 or 7 or something like that. They had the ball on the 3-yard line with like a minute to go. They took 3 knees, and they could have just went in the end zone. We would have covered, money won. But these guys took a knee 3 times, ran the clock out, and didn't cover the spread.
Wow.
And just like last season. Mm-hmm. What's your guy from the Rams, the head coach? McVay, they were down 10. The line was 7. It was 5 seconds on the clock. The Rams kick a field goal. Why? Like, in that situation, you see, isn't that strange there, 12 guy?
That didn't make any sense.
You either go for the end zone or you don't, but you don't kick a field goal to go from the score down 10 to 7 to cover the line. Right. That let me know right then. I said, something ain't right.
I'm going to put a pin in that because we're going to come back to that. Yeah. So, okay, so you're at the position where you will bet frequently. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back to something you said. You said you'll bet five, but you won't bet 20. So what prevents you from saying, okay, like you hit that $5 parlay and you made a G, right? Mm-hmm. So what prevents you from saying, you know what, man, maybe I should try 20 next time. And then if I hit, it's, you know, I don't know, 20,000 or whatever.
Because the one is you're looking at losing 20 for real quick on especially when you go over these five games. If you go over five games in a parlay, now parlay is when you take two or more bets and string them together. And the goal is every bet has to hit for you to win. Mm-hmm. You can't miss one. If you miss one, it's over with. So I look at a $20 bet like, that's a little too much, a little too rich for my taste. Now, if I'm going to do 20, 25, I'm only picking three games. And that's the highest I go with a $25 bet. Have I done it before? Yes. Did I mm-hmm. win? No. Now, my wife, first time betting, she got lucky. Wow. And then hit a parlay. And it was just, you know, of course I took all the winnings because, you know.
Did you, you could not have told her that she won.
I told her she hit. I gave her a little bit of them. I gave her half.
Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying?
What I thought was half. Yeah.
And for those of you watching, he's wearing his mask for his anonymity. He's not wearing it because he's a degenerate gambler. We would never promote that.
Two things could be true.
so that's interesting, man. So like you said, I think what's interesting to me is how the NFL has really embedded itself with, well, not just the NFL, but all sports have, you know, embedded themselves with gambling. Cause I mean, like, even something as simple as, like, if you click on ESPN.com right now, no matter where you are, in your car, at home, listening to this podcast, you go into that right-hand corner and you see it says ESPN Bet. I had never seen that until, like, maybe 2 weeks ago, Jerm. And I don't, to be honest, I don't know how long it's been sitting there. But mm-hmm. it is a link to another site where you can place bets. Don't you think it's risky for these leagues to be, you know, so intertwined with gambling?
You would think after the Donaghy scandal in 2005 that you wouldn't want to be associated with any of these gamblers. But every commercial during football season, you see Facts. MGM, you see Facts. This, you see FanDuel, you see DraftKings, you see all kind of sports books and gambling. It's ridiculous now that it's just everywhere. And I don't know what we're going to do about it because, like I said, everybody's gambling now. Like, I'm sure whatever they was making money gambling 10 years ago, they doubled and tripled it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, because people are finding a way to do it, whether they have sports books or they go to offshore booking. Now you got to be careful with them offshore books because they're going to take a cut. You know what right. I'm saying? And they might not always be, you know, English speaking and they might screw you over. So you got to be careful.
Right. At the time of this recording, I mentioned all of the leagues. At the time of this recording, baseball got rocked with a huge scandal. If you're not familiar, the superstar pitcher, hitter, outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, who is by far the best player in Major League Baseball, also the highest paid player in Major League Baseball. I think he has a $700 million contract in which he for 10 years. And he just got jammed up on some stuff. I'll just give you the brief synopsis of what happened. Now, Ohtani, who's been in the major leagues for, this is, I think, is his seventh year. He went from playing for the Los Angeles or Anaheim Angels to the LA Dodgers. Well, Ohtani is from Japan, doesn't really speak a lot of good English, if you will, at least so he says. So he has an interpreter. Now, his interpreter is his homeboy. At least that's what we've been told. And he's had his interpreter since he's been in the United States and been playing baseball. And his interpreter allegedly got jammed up with a bookie or some betting site or something like that. He had a debt of $4.5 million. And according to his interpreter, the money was paid by Shohei Ohtani to pay off that debt. Well, when people started sniffing around, I think ESPN in particular started sniffing around for a story about it. He said, well, oh, no. He didn't do that. So then Ohtani's people came out and said, hey, we know nothing about a bet being paid. This man stole from his homeboy. He stole the 4.5 million. Now, keep in mind, Shohei Ohtani, again, he has a $700 million contract. So $4.5 million, you know, that's like the money in the ashtray for him. I mean, and I don't know if it was all done at once or if it was done over a period of time. I said all that to say this. Shohei Ohtani had to come, and this is right before the Major League Baseball season started. He had to address the media. He came and he addressed the media. He spoke and he had a translator because the homeboy got fired. I find it funny that the homeboy didn't get brought up on charges, but he got fired. How bad is this, Germ? Because Major League Baseball said that they're conducting their own investigation. The authorities have come involved, and now Shohei Ohtani has said that, hey, the money was stolen from me. I ain't know my homeboy was taking me off like that, you know, so whatever, whatever. And now he's, and again, when he did his press conference, he didn't take any questions and he spoke in Japanese, and he, you know, and I get why he had his a new interpreter up there. But my question to you, Germ, is how bad is this for baseball?
This is 1,000% bad for baseball. It's not like it's some random right fielder for the Kansas City Royals. This is your star player. This is the guy that's in headlines making, you know, your international star that's supposed to build that bridge to the game. So it's terrible because, you know, one, we also know baseball has a no gambling policy.
None.
Pete Rose is not, he got banished from the game for gambling. Mm-hmm. You know, so now Shohei, whatever the situation is, which I personally believe his guy is the fall guy, oh, because I believe everybody's gambling. Because how could he get, you know, like Shohei? He's your interpreter, not your accountant. Okay, you might have tried that with them people that don't speak good English, but we speak good English over here. My interpreter doesn't have that much money to do. You know, you're not swiping my card. You're my interpreter, my accountant. So Shohei's got a gambling problem, and somebody's got to take the fall for it. And baseball's not going to let him take the fall. So I think his name's Ipe or whatever, name like that. Mm-hmm. He's going down. He's going down for it, and it's unfortunate.
You know what's funny about the whole thing is that he got fired by the Dodgers, you know, Shohei's new employer, but he hadn't been brought up on any criminal charges. And I'm like, okay, if you stole $4.5 million from me, even if you're my homeboy, technically you're supposed to be in the bing. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be in handcuffs or something. There was no outrage. I didn't hear Shohei say, hey, I had to beat his ass or anything like that. So the optics of it just look really, really bad. And like you said, for baseball really, as a baseball fan, I'm a Yankees fan, baseball is still trying to recover from the years of the scandals and the steroids and the lockouts and things of that nature. And baseball is a regional sport. It's not really, it's popular in its regions, but it doesn't have the national marketing arm that the NFL has or in the NBA has. Yeah, this is a bad look. How do you think this plays out? Cause I am really surprised, Jerm, cause at the time of this recording, it's been about 2 weeks since this went down. And I checked ESPN right before we came on. There's no story about it. And the last thing we heard is that it's being investigated. But again, 2 weeks have passed. I don't know if baseball is looking to kind of sweep this under the rug and think that we're going to forget. But I mean, every time Shohei Ohtani takes the field, we're reminded of this scandal. So what do you think is going to be the ultimate outcome from this?
Well, once those balls get to flying over the fence and the strikes are being thrown and you hear the, you know, the smell of the corn dogs, whatever they eat at baseball games, popcorn, we're going to forget about this. Yeah, because it's a victimless crime. Okay. Shohei's not going to, you know, because it's up, technically, it sounds like it's up to him to press charges against somebody that stole from him.
Yeah.
So if he keeps it quiet and just keeps playing and nothing comes, I think it's, you know, because another scandal going to break out. Something else is going to happen. We'll forget about this in another 2-3 weeks because it was, like I said, it was victimless. Nobody got hurt. It wasn't, you know, like a car accident or nothing and somebody ran off from a car accident. It was just somebody gambling. But if somebody's going, we're going to have some rogue reporter that's going to do a deep dive in this. Like, it's going to happen. The cap is going to get blown and we're going to find out. We might not find out about it this year, but we'll probably find out about it next year, 2 years down the line. But it's not going to go quiet. Some old writer or somebody for the Angels is going to, like, you know, they got an axe to grind. They're going to get to the bottom of this. So it's going to have a Deadspin type story come out about this. But I don't think it's going to be an ESPN ways because sometimes when the networks are, you know, interested in person and got a lot of value in people, like they ain't going to see a demise, you know, unless they have to. Like, they didn't want to put all this stuff out about Tiger and you know, stuff like that. Like, thank God LeBron still got a clean rep, because I don't know what how they would spin a story. If LeBron come out with some scandalous stuff, man, it's going to be crazy.
And then, you know, they're in bed with the league. So, you know, ESPN, you know, they kind of tread lightly because they don't want to, you know, spoil their relationships and stuff like that. You know, if, like you said, somebody like LeBron, yeah, it would be huge. It would be beyond belief as far as like what they would say or what they would do. Shohei Ohtani appears to be, from what we can tell, a not only is he a phenomenal baseball player, but he appears to be a pretty good guy. But I think if he wasn't doing the betting, I think his homeboy was doing it, and he paid the debt, and he paid the debt not thinking like, I can't pay for this. Like, I am Shohei Ohtani. This looks like I've been gambling, and baseball has clear and defined rules, as well as the NFL. And we saw a guy just a couple of years ago, Calvin Ridley, who was playing for the Falcons at the time. He was on injured reserve. He bet on some games. And the thing that got him jammed up was that, I think it was like $1,100 or something like that. Now, to keep in mind, he was making like $2 million a year. And he placed the bet when he was in the Falcons facility. That's what got him in trouble. If he had placed the bet at the Home Depot parking lot, he would have been fine. So what about NFL players? Because again, the league is merged. You made a great point earlier, Jerm. During the Super Bowl that we just watched, I mean, every other commercial, MGM, all these sports betting websites and everything like that. So the NFL is embedded. You get a line like there's sports channels that will tell you what the line is, tell you how to play, that type of thing. So they want you to, you know, spend your money. They want you to gamble. And then they have a little description at the bottom. Hey, please bet responsibly. It's almost like, you know, you didn't sold me a 40 and say, hey, drink this 40 responsibly. What about NFL players and the NFL again has a strict policy on gambling. What do you think about when the players get jammed up?
You know better. I have no sympathy for you. It's not that I don't understand gambling. When you make millions, you're only gonna win thousands. So I wouldn't risk my millions to win thousands. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It just, call me crazy, but if I'm getting paid $2 million a year, what is $1,100 going to do for me? Me winning $1,100, now I'm on suspension, I'd have lost way more money than $2 million. You know what I'm saying? So it just doesn't make sense for the NFL players to gamble. I don't know what the appeal is. Everybody else does it. Guess what, sir? They're betting on you. You actually play in the league, so there's no need for you to bet. And then once you get players gambling and stuff, it kind of makes you wonder, like, I'm pretty sure players are cognizant of what the line is. Oh, we're favored by 10 today. They might not say it. They might say it. But I don't know if you try to cover or you try to, like, we're getting into murky waters when we start doing this. And like I said, we're getting to that point now where I think sports, because a lot of people are always saying it's rigged, because if you look at Vegas, the accuracy of Vegas is amazing. When teams be favored by 2.5, they win by 3. Or it's just the accuracy. How do they know the over under 43 and the team score 44 or 40? It's just amazing that how they can predict what the score is going to be, and it be so close, or it be right on the money. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
And that leads me to my next question. You mentioned Tim Donaghy, the rogue referee. I want to start with the NFL first, because that's where you just left off. Rigged games. We heard and saw on social media the quote unquote the script, and fans playing with it. Some being jovial about it, others being very serious that there's a script that's followed. As someone who is a diehard college football fan, a diehard NFL fan, a former Little League football coach, what do you say to people who say that the NFL is rigged, or can be rigged, or games can be rigged?
I say to them, it's crazy. You sound crazy. But then I look at it and say, you know what? I can kind of see that because you sometimes you're watching a game and in the first half, let's say it's getting out of hand, and then the second half they might call it a little tighter than what they did in the first half. Just to, you're not saying let the other team back in the game, or just to keep it kind of close. You know what I'm saying? It's things you see, like it makes you understand. Like, man, this is kind of strange. Like, so I'm not saying it's out of the realm of belief, but then I'm saying it's out of the realm of belief because it just takes too many moving parts in a football game. Now the referees, they can't control the flow and the tempo of the game. Now, you might throw a pass to a touchdown. I might call a flag for hold and bring that back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I'm not saying it's not possible, but it would take a lot. You know, it'd be like faking the moon landing. You know what I'm saying? It'd take a lot of people in on it.
You know what, man? And I say this as much like you, like I said, fan, super, super fan. I tell people all the time, football is my first love. I don't think that you can rig a football game. I don't think it's just way too many moving pieces. And even someone who like myself who played college football, I played football at South Carolina State University. Having stood on an NFL sideline to watch a game. Now, I will be honest. When you stand on the sideline and watch the game, as opposed to sitting in the stands, the game is it's way, way faster than it looks. I mean, like it is unbelievable to see men of this size moving that fast. And you mentioned like holding calls and stuff like that. Honestly, you could probably call holding on damn near every play. You know, much like in the NBA where you can call a foul. I mean, how do you officiate somebody like Shaq? How do you officiate somebody like Allen Iverson? How do you officiate somebody like LeBron, who's literally getting touched every time he touches the ball? But that being said, like, I don't think that you could. There's too many moving parts to rig a game. But I will say this much, Germ, and I know you and I have talked about it. We've tweeted about it on Twitter. We get a little skeptical when those flags start coming out, you know.
Yes.
Especially when, because here's the thing, what people don't understand, and I know Germ knows this from coaching. Football is a game of rhythm. And if you know, when the game starts, you kind of get an idea as to how the refs are going to call the game. Maybe they're calling it close. Maybe they're not calling it close. The only thing that we ask is, hey, if you're going to let the DB bump the receiver all the way down the field, if he's allowed to do it in the first quarter, let him do it in the fourth quarter too. Don't start calling it tight just because the game is tight. Because here's the thing, Germ, you and I both know that fourth quarter of an NFL game, and you mentioned just from a gambling perspective, just as a fan perspective, I could be watching Cleveland versus Cincinnati. I have no vested interest in the game. I just love football. But if that's a 3-point game with 5 minutes to go, oh man, everybody's on the edge of their seats. That yes. There's no better reality TV than the fourth quarter of an NFL football game. It cannot be matched. So I don't think that you can rig it, but you can influence it. Now, conversely, Germ, the NBA, you mentioned Donaghy. Can you rig an NBA or a college basketball game?
100%.
How so?
100.
How so?
One, a player can do it. Let's say if I'm your star point guard at Connecticut. Not saying nobody at Connecticut would do this, but I'm your star guard at Connecticut. And, you know, it's a little off game. It's a Wednesday night game. You know, nobody's paying attention. It's not. We're playing Siena State. Mm-hmm. We're favored by 13. And, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm the point guard, so I'm controlling the tempo of the game. I'm mm-hmm. looking at the score. I'm going to keep it close. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do little things, throw an errant pass here. You know, I'm going to take a little shot. I know I ain't even follow through on it. You know, I'm going to keep it close. Or we going to win, but we're just not going to cover. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that way, somebody got some money on the game. Now, if I'm somebody on the bench, I can't control that. But if I'm the point guard, shooting guard, and where they're looking for me to score 30 points a game, and tonight, you know, I'm going to score 18. You know what I'm saying? We win, but we don't cover. Or, you know, however you want to go with it. You know, now they got the single game parlays where you're betting on players to get points and all this stuff. And I might be like, oh, like what the one player, he bet the under on himself.
Yeah, like, I heard about that.
And purposely didn't shoot no shots and miss, and he had the under.
And then you know he checked himself out of the game.
Checked himself. Come on, 12 pass. So, yeah, then And then we already see was hurting. Donaghy said him and the referees would call other referees and they'd make bets and say, well, you know, such and such not playing tonight or this and that. Because Donaghy was the only one that went down for it. Mm-hmm. But he said he wasn't the only one betting. Now, if he – and then, look, he went to jail, prison, excuse me, not jail, prison.
Right, right, he went to prison.
Got out of prison, and he still has his NBA pension. He didn't lose his pension.
Did not know that.
So that makes you think about something right there, like a little fishy. Like, how do you have a whole scandal that could have brought the league down, but they didn't go to court? He just took, he was a foul guy. Mm-hmm. When the prison came out, still got his pension. He runs some construction company, real estate company down here in Florida.
Man. Okay.
He just living his life. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. So absolutely.
You know what, Germ? I don't know, man. Here's what I'll say. I definitely believe the refs can influence a NBA or college basketball game. They definitely can. And the reason why I say that is because if, especially in a college game where you only get five fouls, if you can get a star player in foul trouble in the first half, like if he or she gets two fouls, let's say they get two fouls. Let's use Caitlin Clark as an example. Great college basketball player at the University of Iowa. If she got two fouls within the first 2 minutes of the game or first 5 minutes of the game, she has to sit out the rest of the first half, or at least her coach is probably going to sit her down for, you know, the rest of the first half. So that levels the playing field if they're playing against a team that isn't as good as them, or if they're playing against a team that is as good as them, they're probably going to widen the gap because you don't have your superstar on the court. You don't see that as much in the NBA. Could it happen? It could. But I think, like, you know, particularly, and you see this when the NBA playoff starts, which at the time of this recording is coming up, you know, you want to keep your Stephs, your LeBrons, your Kevin Durants, you want to keep them on the court. But I mean, if Steph fouls somebody, and he's got five fouls, like you can't not call, make that call. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Or like I said, with the charges, that's another one. You know, that's the call that I think they need to get out of basketball because it's 100% objectionable. Mm-hmm. There is no way a clear cut charge. I hate that call. Whenever I see charge, I'm like, how was that a charge and that was a block? How was that a block and that was a charge?
Right, right.
Like, how do you know which one? Like, I've seen people where they're not set, their feet not moving. So if I'm a ref, I'm like, hey, I'm calling a charge on this one. Mm-hmm. He keeps doing it, you know. I mean, so it's a way he can have a 12 count. And I mean, we are doomed in sports because it's only going to get worse. Like it's only because right now it's we have so many places to bet. It ain't like it used to be where you had to know a guy, to know a bookie, right. Or lived in a town with sports betting. Now I just got it on my phone. I can just pick my phone up and make plenty of bets. I'm right there before I go in the arena. I know. The bookie don't know, but I already know Jokic not playing tonight. So right. Let me go ahead and do. Go ahead and make this bet. You know what I'm saying? Or it's just I only had an effect this game. I could just make some money because I have inside information about the game. You know, so that's the whole difference.
So tell me this, but doesn't that as a fan take away from your fandom? Because you mentioned earlier, like your excitement in having the parlays or whatever like that. Doesn't that take away from your excitement of the game? Because, like, again, if it's football, if it's basketball, if it's baseball, I'm watching it, and I'm watching as a fan because I'm genuinely interested in the outcome, particularly if my team is playing. But, like, it never dawned on me, like, to place a bet. Like, because I think if I'm betting on a game, I don't know that I'm – well, let me take it back. I know I'm not going to enjoy the game because only thing I'm worried about is the bet. It's almost like – for me, I play fantasy football, and 1 year I did retire, but I came out of retirement last year. So, but even in saying that, I watch football differently because, like, if I got to your point, if I got Dak Prescott and he's playing in the 4 o'clock window, I need Dak to score, you know, and put up some points. And that's against my rooting interest because I hate the Cowboys. I hate everything about the Cowboys. And as a Giants fan, I really hate the Cowboys. But I need, so now I'm rooting for Dak. So my question to you is like, isn't that a conflict of interest? Because now you can't even really enjoy the game as a fan because you're worried about getting paid.
This is what I always say to a guy. When I bet with my head, not my heart. And you know what I'm saying? Because when you put your heart into it, that's when you make some of the worst bets. Mm. Like, you know, so when you're betting, you got to take your emotion out of it. And you got to just think about the money. And so, but, and it's like I said, you'll find yourself doing some weird stuff. Like the other night, I lost a parlay because Carolina lost. And I was like, I had all I needed was Carolina to win. Didn't even cover no points. I had Carolina money line.
Wow.
And they went out there and lost to a football school. I said, I should have known better betting on Carolina. Now, I do have some rules of teams I do not bet on because no matter what, they're going to always do the opposite.
Okay.
Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Hawks, don't bet on them.
Hey, watch the Hawks now. That's my team.
Look, hey, 12 cow. Boston came, I think it was like last week or something. Yeah, Boston was fish grease.
Yeah.
Fish grease. Yeah. I was just like.
And we came
back. I got the Celtics. I said, I got Celtics money line. I ain't even.
Yeah, we were down by 30.
12 cow. I was so upset because that was the only. Hey, I had like an 8-game parlay. I had put like $10 on it. Mm. It was big money. I'm talking about $1,900.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
Well, I know you were sick.
The only game. I said them damn Hawks. I said,
and for those of y'all listening, just to give you some context, this particular game happened last week at the time of this recording. King Jerm placed a bet on the game, and the Hawks at 1 point in the second quarter, I think, were down at home, down by 30 points to the Boston Celtics. Well, what happens? Boston got cold. Atlanta got hot. The arena got hot. Phillips was rocking. Lil Boosie was on the sideline. Takeoff was on the sideline. I mean, not Takeoff, Quavo. And the Hawks came back and won the game. I didn't realize you lost. You know, man, I would have been sick if I'd have lost $1,900. Hey.
Because once I looked at the score, I said, okay, we got that one in the bag. So I'm thinking, like, and I'm looking at all the rest of them just falling in line.
Wow.
And then when I looked into my thing and it said loss, I'm like, loss? How? And I saw it was the Hawks. I said, see, I said, Hawks, I don't bet on them. And it's somebody else I don't bet on. They hate me. The Chicago Bulls, that's my team.
Okay.
I can't bet on them. Can't bet on them because every time they break my heart. So I stay away from the Hawks, the Bulls, the Falcons. And there's another team that I stay away from.
Why the Falcons? Because Super Bowl?
Falcons, like I said, when I need them to lose, they want to win the game. When I need them to win, they want to lose the game. Amen. So every time, it's just something about, I say, Atlanta, the city of Atlanta hates me. Sports-wise, they hate me.
Hey, man, you can't trust the Falcons, man. You can only trust the Falcons when they are sitting in the winner's circle. If you don't see them in the winner's circle, I mean, they already proved. They let Nas down in the Super Bowl, man. So they'll let you down.
When I need you to be the Falcons, be the Falcons. That's all I'm asking.
That's when they rise up. That's their motto.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't need y'all to rise up today. I need y'all to lay down like you did last week.
So tell me something. As an Eagles fan, you guys played and won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Did you bet any money on that?
No, I wasn't even heavy into the gambling back then in 2017.
Okay.
That's something that really it came. I mean, I always played fantasy football, but it morphed into sports gambling around probably about 2019.
Okay.
And my buddy, he would go, Chuck the Gambler, the one I always shout out. Mm-hmm. He goes to Vegas, so I might bet through him, but I wasn't making bets on my own. So he'd be in Vegas, I'd be like, hey, I'm seeing some money. You know, we're going to win on a parlay or something like that, split the money if we mm-hmm. win. But then I got on my own and then just became a degenerate, man. It just... Terrible.
Yeah, man. I can't bring myself to putting money on a game, man. I just can't do it. I won't do it. It's just not for me.
You gotta try it. You gotta take your feet wet, man.
I might it's like crack. I might like
what's it. What's wrong with liking it? That's the problem.
I don't wanna like it. No, I'm not into losing money. I'm gonna do everything I can to make money. Everything that I try to do at this point in my life, I'm trying to make money. I'm not trying to lose money. And you're right. Now, if I had a situation where you say, okay, 12 Kyle, just put $5 here. If it works out for you, you got a grand. I'm not going to miss $5. But see, the thing about me is, Jerm, I'm super duper competitive.
Yes.
So if I don't get that, I'm probably staying up late that night. Damn, man, I could have had this, da 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 da. And you know, in your mind, particularly when you think that parlay is going to come through, you're probably already spending that grand. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I just can't do it. I can't do it.
It's fun though. It's fun.
I can tell. Is there a sport that you won't bet on?
tennis, okay, maybe golf. I typically stick to the big four, you know, baseball, basketball, football, and you know what I'm saying? You know, the big four. Mm-hmm. But I bet on a hockey game before? Absolutely.
You're truly a degenerate if you bet on hockey.
I mean, listen, hey, I didn't know anything about the teams. I just threw some on there. And then, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I always take the over in hockey. He said, for some strange reason, the overs hit on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Wow. And another gambling tip, 12 Cal Nation, if the football game is 4 points and under, just take a money line. Don't mess with them spreads. Just take whatever team you want money line. Leave the spreads alone.
Mm-mm, you heard it here first. Now don't come blaming me. Send all hate mail to King Jern.
Hey, and listen, one more. Go ahead. Sometimes if the spread is 5.5, buy that extra point, make it 5. The hook always will get you. Watch for the hook. Okay. Cool Breeze said that.
Yeah, he did. Shout out to Cool Breeze. Shout out to Dungeon Family. How nerve-wracking is it? I personally love it, but I always, and I send this tweet, it seems like every Sunday, you can't trust kickers. How nerve-wracking is it when you got money on a game and it's coming down to a freaking field goal to win or lose the game?
That is the most excruciating time, because you, like I said, you never know, especially with these kickers now. Once they move this extra point line back, mm-hmm. extra points are now an adventure.
It is.
Like that like you can't count those points anymore. When they used to have it at the little 17 yard, boom, it was 90, like you said, it was 90 some percent. Now these guys hooking them, they missing them. I mean, field goals is like free throws in basketball now. It's an adventure. It ain't guaranteed no more. So hey, that's just when you sitting there, you really clutching your pearls when you're right. Like, man, my money about to down to this kicker. This kicker. Or you know what's even worse?
What's that?
When the guy you need to win gets hurt or something like that. Like you got, you know, you've seen in fantasy where you some points or something like that, and the person gets hurt and you're just like, man, that's gonna kill me. That's gonna kill my parlay. It's just, oh God, it's terrible.
See,
it's terrible.
I don't like that kind of, I wouldn't want that kind of stress on me. I guess I'm assuming you get used to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, no, you never get used to it. You know what I'm saying? What I do a lot of times, I have this little, you know, I guess you would call it superstition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just go lay down and go to sleep and just like, hey, I just wake up and see what happens. I don't even want to watch. Okay. Like, if it's one of those deals, you know, and then I never bet on my teams. Like, you know, I just don't do that because it's like, I'm betting with my heart then. Right. Do I think the Gators going to win every game? Yes.
They're not.
99% chance. It's just like something about me. I cannot pick the Gators when I can't sit there. Even though I knew we was going to lose every game, I was like, I can't do it. I just stay away. Even though I knew we was going to lose, I made a post and said, this is going to be our last win of the season. My son said, you think so? I said, watch.
And you know my Seminoles are going to tap that. You know that.
Listen, you know, man, I see they over there. Yeah, I don't know where we're gonna play the game at this year. I don't know if they're gonna have y'all arena finished by then, man. Because they got the Doak Temple tore all up right now. So y'all ain't got no seats in there no more. Man, I mean, crazy.
We'll be ready. I mean, we don't play y'all to the end of the season, so it's
I gotta play somebody September. So I ain't talking about November. Y'all got some other games to play first.
This is Florida State University, not FAMU, not South Carolina State. You know. Them folk they'll get it done. They'll get it done. Mm-hmm. They ain't gonna be like waiting to the last minute.
I hope
minute.
It rain every day. I hope we have a monsoon for 4 months straight. Man,
that's funny. For those of you who listen and watch it, Germ is a diehard Florida Gators fan, and I'm a diehard Florida State fan. Last question before I get you out of here, man. Are you ever concerned that it's too much? Like, you're like, oh, wait a minute, Germ. Okay, you just, like, you're looking at your bank statement and you're like, wait a minute, I was wilding this month. Like, the return didn't meet what I thought it was going to be.
Yes, absolutely. 1 year, the NCAA tournament got me. And see, this is the thing with basketball. Once you put, like, with the tournament, because it's so many games, mm-hmm. right? So you might have a parlay here, parlay there. You might, and then, you know, one game lose. So I still got 7 more games mm-hmm. left today. So let me put another one. And you're always chasing that dragon. Mm. So that's when I had to put myself on a punch count. Okay. And when I knew it was too much, 12 Kyle, is when my son came to me and said, Dad, you do anything on Prize Picks? I said, what are you? you gambling now? I said, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And I'm glad I ain't had nothing to do with it, but that was all the young kids started doing Prize Picks and Sleepers and all them little crazy apps and stuff. It's Underdog. You know, hey, did you know Underdog is owned by Mark Cuban and some NBA players?
When you said Underdog, I thought you were talking about a cartoon. That's a gambling site?
No. Wow. It's like a, yeah, it's like a same game, like a daily fantasy betting site. Yeah, but it's owned by Mark Cuban and several NBA players. Now, how in the hell is KD getting money from this? And he, like, KD, you're over 29. You better get 29, buddy.
And so, see, that's the thing. I'm concerned about, particularly in basketball, where, like you said, the point guard can miss a shot or he controls the game. And I don't necessarily worry so much about it with the pros because they make so much money that you wouldn't think that a guy would be throwing a game. But you never know. You know, you can't just assume because these guys make millions that they're millionaires. Some of these guys could be living check to check. I'm almost certain some of these guys are living check to check. I mean, hell, we just saw a guy, like you said, the Porter guy, who I didn't know was Michael J. Porter's brother. You know, he was betting on himself. And so, like, he immediately was, you know, removed from the arena. I don't know if he's been removed from the team because the dude averaged like 0.2 points a game. And so, like, you know, I'm concerned because ultimately that's going to affect the integrity of the game. And I think for the NFL, for Major League Baseball, for the NBA, I think the integrity is important. What do you think?
Integrity is important. They're doing everything they can to salvage that and to, you know, like this year, I didn't think it was smart for the NFL to play around like that, but they had the little script thing. Mm-hmm. I said, I know y'all are playing.
Yeah.
But y'all don't understand. People out here really believe this stuff.
Really?
So y'all shouldn't play around with it. And, you know, because once, you know, certain things happen, you know, we got a conspiracy theorists everywhere. Facts. And they see these things like, oh, when they predict like this whole, oh, they predicted this person was going to be in the game and all this stuff. Don't play along with it. Okay. Y'all lead that to them. Don't y'all play along with it. Because once we lose trust in your product, you know, what are we going to do? Like, you know, if it's just sports entertainment, let us know. You know, if this competition, we're not saying it's a prearranged winner, but the outcome has been already decided. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I might have a Monday night matchup between the Cowboys and Giants. You know, for the optics, we need the Cowboys to win this game because of whatever reason, or the Giants to upset the Cowboys would be great. You know, I don't know. You're starting to make us doubt y'all with our product. So it's getting there, 12-Cal. I'm a firm believer. Like, I'm just like, man. It might be rigged.
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. Even though, and I don't know who's running those social media accounts, but for the NFL to even play on the idea of a script when you already have millions of people who think that your product is fake or rigged, and then, you know, like you said, there's a conspiracy theorist everywhere, and they camp out on social media, and as soon as something happens, I mean, like, just as soon as the Super Bowl ended, we started seeing clips. Hey, well, they call this, but look at how this offensive line, that I saw like three holding calls or missed holding calls against, which would have been against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the thing was they quote unquote want Patrick Mahomes to win a championship. And, you know, he's the best quarterback in the league and they want him to catch Tom Brady and they want him to do this. And, you know, on the surface, it sounds crazy as hell. But then when you start seeing videos that accompany the stuff, and I mean, again, were there holding calls that were missed? Of course there were. You know, but at the eyesight, the refs aren't going to get them. They're not going to make all the calls. Now, some calls are just obvious. I mean, like, I think probably the most obvious call that I've ever seen in my life, at least blown call, was the call a few years ago in New Orleans, where there was pass interference on the sidelines against the Rams. The Saints don't get the call. The Rams end up winning the game, end up going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, you had to feel bad for the Saints because, like, and then so, of course, the conspiracy theories come out. Oh, well, you know, the NFL hates the Saints. That's why they did this.
Why?
You know, because the bounty gate or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's you'll always have that. I think, oh, one other question I had. What do you think about the, and I don't like this at all, the reports, like, I guess it's like the Monday morning report, or the, in the NFL, it's like the Monday morning report, or I think it's called a referee report. In the NBA, it's called like the 2-minute report or whatever like that, where the refs can come back and say, well, hey, this is why this was called. Or they may say, hey, on third down and 10, we missed the call of Travis Kelce pushing off. Even though he caught the ball and scored a touchdown, we missed that call. What do you think about that when they put out those reports, or they say, well, hey, LeBron traveled with 0.5 seconds left right before he hit the game-winning shot. The game is over. You're not going to jump in a time machine, or you're not going to say, hey, we blew that call. It's basically saying, oops, my bad. We blew the call. What do you think about those leagues that put out those type of statements and the fallout from it?
Well, first of all, y'all have all this technology that can slow frame by frame by frame by frame. Y'all can look at it and say, well, his shin barely touched the ground, so he was down. Mm-hmm. Use the technology and get it right. I don't want to hear after the game that, you know, we missed a call and that call resulted in the other team winning, because you can't go back and put the confetti back in the cannon. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go back and say, hey, we got to replay this last minute. Get the call right. You take all the other time. And I hate when they say, well, according to the rules, even though there was holding on that play, we can't change it, or we can't. Yeah. It was a clip right there, but that's not what they're reviewing, and we can't. No, let's get it right. If we're going to get it right, let's get it right. There's no reason for you to mark the ball short of where it actually supposed to be marked at. There's no reason for you to say that wasn't a catch, mm-hmm, and come back the next day and say, well, technically it was a catch. Well, what was you doing under that hood the whole time, Joker? Like, what was you doing? What was you looking at? Because everybody in the arena saw that it was a catch.
Right.
But y'all somehow, and then the next day you want to crack under pressure and say, well, we got it wrong. No, you didn't get it wrong. You called what you called, and I live with it.
Yeah, I that I'm skeptical of, when they're going under the hood, or you got Gene Steratore coming on. Well, hey, this is what happened. Basically, the quote unquote legal expert or whatever like that, the rules expert, they're tapped into the command center in New York. So That's why they never get the call wrong. They're telling you what. Every now and then, I think they miss a call just to throw us off, but they're tapped in. They probably hear the communication coming through their earpiece, and they know, okay, well, hey, this is going to be reversed, or this is going to be, this call is going to stand, or what have you like that. But I'm with you. Coming back later, telling me, I'm sorry, oops, my bad, we made a bad call. And then, like I said, all in all, everything is tied to gambling. When you're in bed with these leagues and you're in bed with Vegas, it's not a good look. I don't know where sports is headed. But Germ, I mean, like, people made fun of this Ohtani thing. It could really bring down a lot of people if, you know, not just him, but I mean, like, if we see more of this. And I think just because we're in bed with, because the sports leagues are in bed with Vegas, I think this is going to happen more often.
Absolutely. And baseball got to let Pete Rose in. If you are okay with this Ohtani, you got to reinstate Pete Rose. Let that man in the Hall of Fame before he disappears from Earth. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
Pete Rose ain't never getting the Hall of Fame. And
that's crazy.
And it's crazy because I think I saw Pete Rose play, man. Pete Rose is a bad man. And I think he should be in. I think Barry Bonds should be in. You know, because baseball.
But you got.
Go ahead.
They got all kinds of guys in there that cheated. Oh, well, he admitted to it. What difference does that make? Because I admitted to it. Hey, I still cheated.
You know, baseball be on some quote unquote traditional stuff. So it's interesting, and it's going to be interesting. We're going to pay attention to the Shohei Ohtani situation, and trust and believe there's going to be more gambling accusations. There's going to be more players to get busted gambling. The NFL, I think, now will hit you initially with a 6-game suspension. Well, depending on the severity of it, you can either get 6 games or you can get a year like Calvin Ridley did.
Yeah, dumb.
So, I mean, what do I know? Like you said, Germ, risking a couple of $1,000 against my $1 million contract. I mean, but then again, we did have a guy fight dogs for a couple of $1,000 and he had a $100 million contract. But that's another story for another day. Man, before we get out of here, King Germ, man, tell folks where they can find you in the podcast at, man.
Well, first off, I want to thank 12 Kyle for having me share this platform with me, man. I always have a great time when I come around here and kick it with 12 Kyle. As far as my podcast, Pod Saving Our Marriage, you catch us every Friday on all DSPs. Me and my wife show the world how two people can actually be married and do a podcast together and still stay married. So please come do us a favor. After you listen to 12 Kyle, come check us out, man.
For sure. For sure. One of my favorite podcasts, hands down. Love it. Love being on there, man. They give it to you raw. It's funny from start to finish. Definitely check them out. And Jerm, I didn't even realize you got on the Prime Shades. That's a good look. That's a good look.
Oh, these are bootlegs. These are these are wines. You know, these not Prime.
This man is a millionaire. He didn't tell y'all that, but that's another story for another day.
D.I. actually gave me these shades. Of course he did. He said, look at this poor guy right here, man. Just take these shades, man. He said, please, stop looking at me, man. He said, just take these shades.
And if you're watching, he is wearing a Pod and Saved Our Marriage podcast t-shirt, so they got merch as well. You guys have been listening this long, so you know where to find me. The 12 Kyle podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. You can find us anywhere wherever you get your podcast. We are on YouTube as well. All the YouTube has all of the videos as well as audio. Follow us on socials at 12 Kyle, at 12 Kyle podcast. That would be Twitter X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads. I always forget Threads. And the podcast has its own TikTok page, so check us out on TikTok as well. And if you feel so inclined, I'm not independently wealthy like Jerm. If you want to throw a couple of dollars our way, $TWELVEKYLE on Cash App. And if you go to our Linktree link, there is a link in there for merchandise. You can now get 12 Kyle podcast merchandise, t-shirts, mugs, banners. You can get it all. We got it for you.
Rich get richer.
Again, that's going to do it for me. So for my man, King Jerm from Pod and Saved Our Marriage podcast, I am your boy, 12 Kyle. This has been another edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.